You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
One of the beautiful things about the Enneagram is it honors the fact that the human personality is dynamic, right. It's fluid, it changes. What's so cool about the Enneagram is it honors the fact that within each number, there is an infinite variety, what I call the infinite variety of sameness. If you think about it, on the spectrum, the color spectrum, there is an infinite variety of blues, right? But they're all blue. It'll maintain and actually illuminate your uniqueness in a way that will really be life-giving and self-affirming for you.
That's Ian Morgan Crone. He's co-author of the book, The Road Back to You, An Enneagram Journey to Self-Discovery. He's talking there about an allegedly ancient personality typing system called the Enneagram, a way of, he says, self-discovery. He even calls it life-giving. And it's very popular, not only in business circles where they do leadership workshops and things like that. It is popular and growingly popular among Christians. We're going to find out why for the next few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 5th. Father Mitch Pacwa joins us. He's founder and president of Ignatius Productions, host and guest on several radio and television programs for EWTN, and author of the book, Catholics in the New Age. Father Pacwa, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, it's my pleasure.
These things were popular personality tests or diagnostics back in the early and mid-70s. How do you explain their renewed popularity today in a general sense?
It's very simple. People forget how stupid they were back then. And there's nothing like a little bit of time to help people forget the absurdity of some of these very simplistic personality typing systems. You know, one that is not nearly as bad as the Enneagram is the Myers-Briggs analysis. However, what psychologists know, but most other folks don't, is it's a very unreliable system in itself. It's been tested and shown not to work, except for showing that someone is an introvert or an extrovert. But business people and religious people who don't know psychology and the way that Myers-Briggs was rated in the blue book of rating psychological tests, go ahead and use it blithely without realizing its limitations. Now, that's better than the Enneagram. The Enneagram has not been tested professionally, and it gets used by non-psychologists on a regular basis because real psychological analyses like the MMPI and other serious tests to understand personalities, you know, are too complex and take real training to understand. And so people who want their psychological decoder ring out of the Cracker Jacks box or something are going to use this stuff, and they'll do so very unprofessionally.
So explain what this Enneagram is, describe
sure.
it visually, and then what it purports to be able to diagnose about an individual's personality.
Sure. First of all, the Enneagram began long before this personality system. The Enneagram is a personality typing system, started about 1968, 69, right in that era. prior to that, what you had was this drawing. It's a circle symbolizing the oneness of all being. And at the root of a lot of the Enneagram teaching is a something of a pantheist assumption that everything is one. God and creation are all one. That's what pantheism means. Everything is God. But that's part of the old background. Secondly, inside the circle are two other diagrams. One is a triangle, and this is based on the mystical number 3, which when you divide 3 into 1, you get this number that repeats ad infinitum. It's a decimal. When you do the decimal point of it, it repeats ad infinitum. And then the second drawing is a type of star. It's not exactly a star. It's got 6 points, but it's not like a Star of David. It's shaped very differently. And it connects from the if you, again, have 9 points. Ennea means 9. So you have 9 points around the circle. 3, 6, and 9 are covered by the triangle. And then you have this other star inside that goes from the 1 to the 4 to the 2 to the 8 to the 5, 7, and back to 1 again. The reason for that is the other sacred number, 7, when divided into 1, comes up with the mystical decimal point of 0.142857, which is itself repeated ad infinitum. And so the reason I mention this is to help people know there was a bit of absolute nonsense, so much nonsense that one is tempted to call it outright deception, claiming that the Enneagram was a personality system invented by Sufis, who are Muslim mystics. And the Sufis invented this 2,000 years ago. Right? That's the claim. And that they have these 9 personality types. The claim for that is that one capital sin is at the core of everybody's characterological structure. So you have one capital sin that's at the core of your personality structure. And that from that one main sin come all the rest of your sins. So anger is the sin of the one. And pride for number 2. And it goes on, avarice for number 5. So indolence for number 9. And so on. Now, I don't know if you know the ancient tradition in the church that there are not 9 capital sins, but 7. There's 7 capital sins. And what happened with the Enneagram is they ran out, so they had to invent 2 more. For the 3, they invented deception as a capital sin, and for the 6, they invented cowardice as the capital sin. And the guy who invented the Enneagram was a Chilean man named Oscar Ichazo. The nonsensical story is that he revealed, that the Sufis deemed him the one to reveal the Enneagram. But that's not true. In fact, the co-creator of the Enneagram was yet another Chilean, a psychologist, who met him in the late 60s. And together, they developed the Enneagram. And he admits it. He admits it. His name is Claudio Naranjo. He was a psychologist at the Esalen Institute out in California. And Claudio Naranjo brought the personality types of the American psychologist Karen Horney. She was flourishing, I think, in the 30s and 40s, at least, maybe into the 50s. And he took her personality types, put it on with these capital sins, and then he also added a Freudian defense mechanism as the key defense mechanism for each one of these types. But it was invented later. And A, he admits this in a lecture he gave in San Diego back about 1992. And I got the tape and listened to it a number of times to make sure I understood it. And he even admits that the other man who first made this a personality system, namely Oscar Ichazo, had been told to make a personality system, not by the Sufis, but he was channeling a spirit he called Metatron. And Metatron told him to make the capital sins on each point of the Enneagram. And Metatron, you know, instructed him to, of course, add a couple extras because he ran out. And then the psychologist filled out the descriptions from Karen Horney. That's the real story. Now, Christians have two problems with this Enneagram, at least. First, channeling spirits is not only a serious sin, we Catholics would call that a mortal sin. Like in 1 John 5, he says some sins are not mortal, sins are. But it's a mortal sin against the first commandment to have any other gods. If you channel these spirits, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 11, call it an abomination. It says that anybody who channels spirits becomes an abomination. So my question would be, why would Christians participate in this kind of spiritual abomination? The only reason is most of the people who teach the Enneagram don't even know its origin. They believe the lie that it's an ancient 2,000-year-old Sufi system when it's not. It is something that came out of spirit channeling in the 1960s. And so that's one thing that Christians need to do is disabuse themselves of it. On another level, if you've got this personality typing system, I opened up mentioning the Myers-Briggs, which has been tested and found to be not reliable except for detecting if somebody's an introvert or an extrovert. You do careful testing of tests. The Enneagram, on the other hand, has not been tested in a professional way by the psychological community. And it becomes the plaything of junior psychology non-professionals who are playing games with personalities. Within the Enneagram system, there's no way to assign a person, at least originally, each person would read and understand the personality types, and then he or she would determine for him or herself which type they belong to, what fit them the best. And you're supposed to meditate on yourself, come to know yourself, and see what is your central compulsion. That's the word they used to use anyway, that capital sin at the core of the personality type is your central compulsion. And you determine that for yourself. However, this became problematic because typically they use examples from public information or historical background to identify people who never took an Enneagram workshop and see what type they were. So, for instance, when I was doing it, I took the Enneagram workshop. I didn't know the background on it. And I thought it was really cool, and I like to teach it. But when I teach something, I investigate more deeply. And the more deeply I investigated, the worse things I found. But they would tell us in that class, well, Beethoven and Hitler were eights on the Enneagram, and they would go through other characters and give their personality number and so on, which is, in fact, telling you that you will have the ability to identify somebody else's personality type. And I find that outrageous, because to know somebody deeply is a great privilege. To understand their personality and their background is an honor that they share with you. For somebody to be trained in thinking that they can identify what a personality type is and then start to predict what their behavior is or explain away their behavior by saying, well, oh, he's just a typical seven. Oh, those ones always do this. Fours always, and it becomes an absurd type of relationship with other people that you think that you have control in understanding who they are and what they are when, in fact, you do not. And that's something that I find a big objection. Another thing that was part of the Enneagram teaching at the beginning is that they would say that these are nine demons, or the personality types were nine demons at the center of each person. However, if you learn to turn them upside down, you will find that these are also the nine faces of God. Well, first of all, God doesn't have nine faces. Secondly, you don't have the power to turn or twist God's face one way or the other. And this is, and certainly not inside yourself, to the role of God's forgiving grace from the cross of Jesus Christ gets lost in all this. The people will walk around and say, oh, well, I'm a redeemed one, or I'm a redeemed six, or whatever it might be. What do you mean by that? Well, what you mean is, I no longer act out of that compulsion. I fixed myself. I changed myself. And this is something that is contrary to our faith. It's an old heresy called Pelagianism, which teaches that human sinners can fix themselves apart from the grace that Christ won on the cross, which he forgives our sins, that gets lost. So you've got bad theology of God's nine faces and the devil's nine faces, being turning God's face upside down, a bad theology that God's face can be turned into a demon, and a bad theology that I can fix myself, especially since even what I'm trying to fix, these nine personality types, is something unproven. There is no evidence except for the fact that the spirit Metatron told Oscar Echazo that there are nine types. But no other evidence exists that there are only nine types. No evidence exists that these are the nine types, if they did exist. None of that is proven. No description of these nine types has been proven by psychological examination to be verified. And also the way that you correct your personality has not been verified either. They're making it all up. Again, that's why I use the image of them trying to get their junior psychologist decoder rings and play psychologist without being licensed by the state. They call them this a spirituality or some such nonsense, and try to get away with not having the very serious kind of psychological background to understand personalities and, you know, speak about them carefully. And they just do this Enneagram workshop, which is, at the very least, superficial, if not worse.
Father Mitch Pacwa is our guest. When we come back, what if someone says, look, I can dismiss all that false history of it, and maybe it doesn't have any science behind it, but maybe it'll just help me gain a little insight into myself. We'll get his response after this. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the growing popularity of an allegedly ancient personality typing system called the Enneagram. Father Mitch Pacwa is our guest, host and guest on several radio and television programs for EWTN and author of the book Catholics and the New Age. Father Pacwa, how would you respond to someone who says, look, I understand that it's got a bogus pedigree and understand that none of it's really proven, but there must be something to it. So many people use it and they seem to find some sort of at least illumination of their own personality from it. What if I just want to use it just to gain whatever kind of insight I can into myself using the Enneagram?
Well, what I can do by that standard is say, well, I've got a Maserati or some other very expensive car, so I'm going to go buy a plastic model of that car. And on the basis of being able to put that plastic model together, I'm going to work on my engine in my car. That makes even more sense than using the Enneagram to understand your personality. What basis do you have to know that this will help you understand your personality? See, that's my concern. If you want to understand something about your sinful personality, then examine yourself in light of what Scripture says about God's declaration of sin and virtue. Read the Sermon on the Mount and see how you stack up, not against the Enneagram that was instigated by a spirit channeled through Oscar Chazo, but check your personality up against what Jesus Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount and start to compare yourself to what he teaches and see how that fits. Take a look at some of the materials in, say, Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, where St. Paul lays out a series of elements of moral exhortation, as well as in other parts of Paul's letters, Romans 12 and many other places. Examine your conscience and speak to the people around you. You can do a close analysis of your personality and your compulsions by taking a serious self-examination. But here's one of the problems I would have with the Enneagram in that line. By claiming that one capital sin is at the core of your personality, you run the risk of not paying attention to the ways in which the other capital sins come into your life. I would say, at least in this much general information to you, the rest goes to my confessor, but I would say in general, I don't limit myself to one capital sin. There are some days I make the rounds, And I don't just do one capital sin. And I ought to be alert not to say, well, my core capital sin is pride, so I'll ignore my lust, my anger, my greed, my indolence. No, all of those need to be examined on a regular basis. And you will do much better to look at all the capital sins and examine your life, to look at the commandments of God, you know, that he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, and examine that, examine your conscience using those commandments and seeing how they fit. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a very long chapter on the Ten Commandments to bring out ramifications so that it's not only that you don't commit adultery. As our Lord said, you don't even look with lust on somebody. Are you looking at pornography? Are you having an affair? Are you committing fornication? No, these are self-examinations that ought to go on and not say, well, the eights deal with the sin of lust. That's their core sin. So I'm only a two, so I don't have to worry about that. I just have to worry about my pride. That's nonsense.
Father Mitch Pacwa is founder and president of Ignatius Productions. He's host and guest of several radio and television programs for EWTN, and he's author of the book Catholics and the New Age. You'll find a link to this book and to Ignatius Productions at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Father Pacwa, thank you very much for being our guest.
It is an honor, and I hope that some of this is helpful to y'all.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 5th, we continue our series. This is unfolding to be a great series, Classroom Apologetics. We've been in the biology classroom and the philosophy classroom. Next, we move on to English Literature 101. What kind of challenges do Christians face there, and how do we respond? Dr. Christian Kopp will be our guest right after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.